We have to send the world a message. The words were said with such force and conviction that President Bergmani looked at General James sternly. For a fleeting moment, the president wondered how much longer the general would put up with his reticence to act. He set the thought aside. The general was aggressive and could be very convincing, but he had sworn an oath to his nation, which included obedience to his commander-in-chief. The president moved his gaze from the general to the window, which looked out onto the White House lawn. General James was right, at least in one way. After the first atomic weapons had been dropped, the world knew the power of a nuclear blast. People knew it firsthand. For many years, people with radiation sickness reminded everyone of the secondary effects. During the Cold War, people practiced surviving a nuclear holocaust as nations tested larger bombs and squared off in what amounted to nothing more than posturing. Wars were fought between these nuclear powers, but without using nuclear weapons, and in most cases without using their own men and equipment. The general seemed to have an uncanny knack for knowing what the president was thinking. "Sir," he said, asking for Bergmani's attention, "the last time an above-ground nuclear test occurred was 93 years ago. In 1950, people were alive who had experienced the power. That generation and the one following it, the one that hid beneath their desks at school, has passed into history. All that's left are some old newsreels. People don't fear nuclear war like they did back then. The development of small tactical nuclear weapons..." "Small?" the president interrupted. "Is there such a thing as a small nuclear blast?" "I apologize, sir. Smaller may be a better word. But the fact remains that we have weapons which are tens of times more powerful than the ones used in 1945, and 10 times less powerful. But even that is beside the point."
"I know," Bergmani said. "Let's see if I can summarize your advice in terms of what I can actually authorize." Glancing at the general to see if he was amenable to the suggestion, the president continued. "President for Life Ingwali is completely unstable. A few years ago, he somehow attained the capacity to manufacture nuclear weapons and is now developing a wide variety of delivery systems. His neighbors, both with adjacent borders and those within 1,000 miles of his coastline, are rightly concerned that he will do something very stupid. The United States is the only one of the big three nations that can stop him, but in doing so, we would probably bring on the nuclear war that everyone fears." The general opened his mouth as if to speak, but the president held up a finger to stop him, adding, "You say that people no longer fear nuclear war, at least to the level that they should, and that a reminder is in order." General James nodded. "That sums it up well, sir. The reminder would be good for the world at large and might also be enough to precipitate an insurrection against Ingwali." "I heard that analysis as well. CIA thinks it's even a possible outcome." "We could..." "Wait," Bergmani held up a palm. "Tell me about the new advances in reducing the radioactive fallout." General James allowed himself a practically imperceptible smile as he realized that the president was considering the option. "Fallout is due to the interaction of the radiation and particulate matter in proximity to the blast, as well as the particles created by the blast itself. Using advanced fissionable material and detonating the device in areas where the particulate matter is somewhat contained reduces the effect. This is why underground testing was conducted in the first place." Bergmani turned to face James. "What about this EMP stuff?" "An EMP, which refers to an electromagnetic pulse, is created as a byproduct of a nuclear blast. Over the years, we've also learned to generate them artificially."
"So what is it? An electric charge? A magnetic field?"
"It's sort of both, sir," the general explained. "Electricity and magnetism are very closely connected in the world of physics. Current moving through a coil of wire creates a magnet. Moving a magnet next to a coil of wire creates a current in the wire. No one really knows how or why. It has something to do with the properties of metallic atoms." The general paused, looking for understanding in the president's face. Finding just enough to encourage him, he continued his explanation. An EMP might best be thought of as the properties, electricity and magnetism, flying through the air without the particles, without the metal atoms, just the properties. The president nodded in mock understanding. The general nodded back. Atomic bombs work so well because they are working at the level of atoms, electrons, protons, neutrons, and all that. Tearing the atoms apart is what releases the energy. Electrons and protons were once thought to combine to form neutrons, but then someone discovered quarks. Noticing the look on the president's face, General James stopped in mid-sentence. Too much detail? The president grimaced and nodded. The basics are that these little particles, electrons, and so on, all have properties that are similar to electromagnetism. When they fall apart, the electromagnetism is released in a big pulse or a wave. That wave can generate something like an echo in the circuitry contained in both electronics and electrical systems. In sum, an improperly shielded aircraft encountering a pulse, an EMP, would lose all of its electronics and probably crash. The same would apply to cars, satellites, and radio stations? Yes, sir. Anything electrical or electronic. What about plants or people? People with pacemakers would be in trouble, but others would experience nothing significant. I honestly don't know about plants. The general paused momentarily, then asked, "What are you thinking, sir?" Becoming slightly animated, the president walked around the Oval Office with one finger in the air and one hand behind his back, looking every bit like an old painting of Benjamin Franklin. What if we use a very small nuclear device and a good-sized EMP? We can generate an EMP without a nuke, right? We can. The general considered the suggestion. The demonstration of even a small device would be sufficient to remind people of the power of the bomb, and the EMP would drive it home, but in a less destructive way. The two men stared at each other, considering the option. Almost in unison, they said, "I like it." "Is everything ready?" President Bergmani scanned the faces of the generals and advisors collected in the war room. All were somber and without expression. None said no. The president motioned to General James. 3 months ago, the president and I became convinced that this demonstration was needed. You've all been briefed on that, and I believe that you've all seen the op plan as well. All the heads nodded, but none of them with any enthusiasm. It was clear to everyone in the room that this action was being taken only to avoid an even more serious action threatened by Ingwali. "Excuse me, General," the president interrupted. Looking at Secretary of State Caldwell, he said, "Tim, we've pretty much telegraphed the basics of today's actions to Ingwali, and I know that you've had private back-channel talks with him. In public, he's just as off-kilter as ever. What's he like in private? Is he coming around?" "No, sir, he is not. In fact, if anything, he's getting worse. He's more bellicose and belligerent than ever. I've been contacted by several other nations, privately, of course, begging us to do something." "Bannon?" The president looked at Director of Central Intelligence Agency for an update. "Open sources, which are good, tell us that Ingwali's citizens are very nervous that he will start something that they will have to pay for with their lives. We think that they are on the edge of revolution. We recommend going forward with the plan." "General?" "Our ships and aircraft are all positioned. If you give us the go-ahead, the event will take place in 2 hours." "Summary?" 5 small, 5 low-energy atomic weapons arranged in a line parallel to the shore are to be used. They will be detonated far enough offshore that the shockwave will have diminished by the time it reaches land. The blasts themselves will be visible to almost every one of Ingwali's citizens because the nation is largely coastal. We expect a low but significant tidal wave. At the same time,
several very high EMPs will be directed at the capital city and other targets. All aircraft and ships have already been warned that military tests are taking place. We expect this to be a zero casualty event. What about the island? We evacuated the island of Blanco Prieto a week ago. It will be targeted with a higher energy nuclear weapon and a high energy EMP. The intent there is to give the world a place to visit and study, a reminder and a lasting testament to the power of nuclear weapons. What's next? The president asked. Give us the green light. President Bergmani scanned the faces in the room again and, seeing no objections or questions, nodded, saying, "Do it." 2 hours and 3 minutes later, images of nuclear explosions were captured by live satellite feeds and displayed on the big screen in the war room. On a tiny island well away from anything other than fish, nuclear reactions began to occur at an extremely rapid rate. Molecules separated into atoms. Atoms separated into electrons and nuclei. Nuclei separated into protons and neutrons. Protons and neutrons separated into quarks. The electromagnetic pulse being emitted met the incoming electromagnetic pulse of the demonstration, and the quarks separated from an as-yet-undiscovered non-particle. One of the laws of physics is that all matter has properties. Laws of physics, however, are established by observation, not necessity. The infinitesimally small particles on this little island were being separated from their properties. Loose properties quickly attached themselves to particles without properties, according to the laws of physics, yet undiscovered by man. The EMP produced as part of the demonstration edged the energy into this core of change to a level that was self-sustaining. As the energy rippled out from the initial explosion, so did the abandonment of properties and the establishment of new properties. Electrons became neutrally charged. Protons no longer resided at the center of reforming atoms. Due to some unknown function, however, molecules remained much the same, but not quite. As the changing laws of physics expanded from the epicenter of the blast, organisms shuddered but were not damaged. New scientists in a new age would need to rediscover such things as the laws governing genetics. But the changeover in the laws of physics happened so quickly that there were no casualties. The casualty was to science itself. Metallic objects no longer conducted electricity. Iron was no longer magnetic. Helium was heavier than water and soon collected in large pools of gas at the bottom of the ocean. Gasoline no longer exploded with enough force to power an internal combustion engine. Gunpowder fizzled like an antacid tablet, refusing to drive bullets down the barrels of guns. What had been fissionable nuclear material stockpiled in so many bunkers full of nuclear weapons became as harmless as putty.
Copyright 2017, Thomas R. Cuba, all rights reserved.